Please join me in prayer. God of wisdom, still our hearts and silence our distractions so that we can be fully present to your word. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, let us hear what you have to say to us today and give us the courage to listen and respond to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Psalter reading today is Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all of its iniquities. This is the word of the Lord.
Our focus text this morning is not one that you commonly hear preached. It is a pivotal text in the Old Testament about stones and what they represent in our faith. This is the second reference in Samuel to Ebenezer. The first is the defeat of the Israelites by the Philistines when they take away the Ark of the Covenant because the Israelites had turned to idols. This reading today is a tale of a turning back to God. It was a place called Mizpah, and they'd been summoned together by Samuel, and they had gone through acts of penitence and purification. So let's listen to the living word from 1 Samuel 7, 7 to 14. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went there against Israel. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The Israelites said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us and pray that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as beyond Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshanah and named it Ebenezer, for he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The towns that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Stir us anew this day and speak to us what you would have us hear. Amen. I remember camping as a kid. One of the activities that they had us do was to take stones or rocks and put them in different patterns so that the people behind us would know whether to turn left or right and could end up at the destination where we wanted them to follow us. This was a fun game. And then as an adult, I learned it was a more serious game. Sometimes it was even essential to maintaining the right path. So these piles are also known as cairns, and they can be vital when you're on a hike or trying to follow a trail and something happens and it becomes less obvious which way you should go. They've been used since ancient days. The word cairn actually means heap of stones in Scottish Gaelic, and was even once used to indicate where a supply of food or water might be found along the path. They're found at river crossings, where the path splits into two different directions. They can be on mountaintops. They can also be found when things get rocky, so it's not obvious what the path you should take through the rock field is. My experience with this was ascending Pike's Peak. We got to the boulder field for the last part of the hike, and we assigned a young boy to go at the front of our group to pick out where these cairns were so that we would know which rocks were the steadiest for our path. What boulders were reliable for us to wind our way through those and have secure footing? These little piles of stone were really, really important. In addition to the practical aspect of helping us find our footing, cairns of stone upon stone have religious significance too. How many of you have had Zen gardens? It's become more popular of late. Stacks are also a nuanced art form. Some people make stacks of stones to mark what's called vortexes. These are areas where they believe that the energies of the universe are in complete balance. Stacked rocks are also present in many of the Native American cultures. They mean many things, from strength and prayer, or a sign about food and water. That carries across several of these. Many, many faith traditions use stacks of stones. They represent the balance and connection for us. So what is it with this stack of stones, or one giant stone from Samuel, that he names Ebenezer? How many of you name rocks? It's kind of weird. Especially knowing that this wasn't a place that was really renowned. It wasn't remembered by anybody. In fact, theologians argue about where this might have actually been. The name Ebenezer, how many of you are familiar with that? We asked the kids. Okay, adults know it. How many of you only know it because of Scrooge? And because of Scrooge, Ebenezer is not the first thing you jump to when you're, what would I name my new son? Anybody name their kid Ebenezer before I step on toes here? It became negative because of Dickens' story. However, if you remember from our study of Scrooge, he was transformed. He was redeemed. So what did the kids learn that Ebenezer actually means? It is stone of help. Samuel is raising a monument to remember that God was with them. That in spite of their history of idolatry and sin, when they turned back in faith, God was there for them. While it's not a hugely familiar verse, it's also more popular with the statement, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Anybody heard that? I bet some of you have. That became popular with the hymn by Robert Robinson, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Google AI, yes, I went there, says that the hymn's lyrics express gratitude for God's grace and blessings, but they also acknowledge human fallibility and the tendency to wander from faith. This hymn is used in memorial services because it's comforting and it's well known by many people. I've also heard this beloved hymn in contemporary services with the most creative instrumentation you could ever imagine. And it's done by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. When our steps get wobbly, there's a comfort in these hymns of our tradition. They reach their fingers into our souls, and they just won't let go. So let's sit with these words. They've been inspired for hundreds of years after Samuel, and then they reach across hundreds more to arrive with us, and they still speak to us. Hymns are also another way of praying. So what do they say? Are they just a rote comfort of something we've memorized, and so they bring us comfort? Or are they pushing and prodding us and calling us to do something? So let's see what this one's saying to us today. And how does God speak through the fallible human pen of a hymn? Come thou fount of every blessing. Come, Lord Jesus, remind us of the many blessings that you impart. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Realign our hearts, God, when we feel weary. Help us to sing again and rejoice in that amazing grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it. What is it I'm fixed upon? Mountaintops are scattered throughout the holy word of God. So where do we fix our eyes so that we're reminded of the grace and the wonder and the abundant care of God? An unwavering and unconditional love for us. Mount of God's unchanging love. And then that popular line, here I raise my Ebenezer. This is where I stand for you, God. This is who you call us to be. Today, with your help, we are called to live in your name and raise a monument praising you with who I am, with what I do, with how I live, and every word from all of our lips. The song continues. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Following God from baptism to grave, we have hope even in the darkest of days. Jesus sought me when a stranger. Can we do the same? Welcome stranger, offering shelter and care, when doing so now is riskier than it has been for generations in this place. Wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Daily, God provides our daily bread. We are constrained and called to stand up for all God's children. We hear with fear of the disappearing programs for the hungry, of the canceling of veteran suicide hotlines, of the shrinking of our retirement nest eggs, and the support programs. Media is overwhelmed with a message of fearing difference, of fighting those who are not like us. Oh God, may your grace abound. Let that grace, now like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Bind me to your work, God. Bind all of us to protect, to cherish, and to love. Let us stand up and stand for others, even when it has a cost. Even when my own world is not rocked or shaken, let me look to the other. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. When it's easier to throw those stones, we even had to remind the children, don't throw it. How can I use my all? Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. How do I use everything? How do I use every skill, every last dime to feed, love, and care for the children of the world? Seal it for thy courts above. God, take our hearts and enable us to walk the path that you desire, loving every neighbor and trying again and again when we must be rounded up so that we remember what it means to be Christian. So it was hard to read those words and not sing them. And maybe even harder to dive into what they speak to our souls, what they call of us. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Where do we make our stand? If we raise a memorial of Christ Church in this time and place, what does it look like? What stones are we stacking? What giant rock do we place? We're Presbyterians, so I probably have lots of answers, and we probably disagree. But we keep doing church together. Our Ebenezer is a love deeper and stronger than all the issues that seek to tear us down and to tear us apart. What rock is the steadiest when we have wandered? What pulls us back? In our biggest celebrations and our most heart-rending grief, we set aside all of those little differences and we come back together. How can we at MPC extend that together further into the community? Our youth are out at conferences this week. They're learning, they're serving, they're playing in the name of God. I even got a photo this morning of two of them leading worship with 500 other youth. How do we follow our youth and represent Christ and go forth in Christ's name? Who are we when we go beyond these walls? When are we raising the cairns for God? Is it a pile of rubble or a monument that reminds the world what and who Christ loves? Here we raise our Ebenezer and show that this place and in this time, it is a time and a place of Jesus Christ with love for all. Who needs this solid stack of stones for their footing when they feel insecure? To know that they too are loved in their infallibility when they wander. Where is our reminder that God will draw each and every one of us back in, back together? It is here, and it is now. Amen.